Okay, yeah, thanks for joining me. I'm still on the West Coast time, so it feels like I'm doing this at like 7 a.m. but glad to talk to you about the Claude Agent SDK. So I think like this is going to be like a rough agenda of what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about like what is the Claude Agent SDK, why use it? There's so many other agent frameworks. What is an agent? What is an agent framework? How do you design an agent using the Agent SDK or just in general? And then I'm going to do some like live coding, or Claude is going to do some live coding on prototyping an agent. I've got some starter code, but the whole goal of this is like, you know, we got 2 hours, we can be super collaborative, ask questions. This is also going to be not like a super canned demo in the sense that like we're going to be like thinking through things live. You know, I'm not going to have all the answers right away. And I think that'll be a good way of like building an agent loop, I think, is like really very much like kind of an art or intuition. So, before we get started, just curious, a show of hands, like how many people have heard of the Claude Agent SDK or have, okay, great. Cool. How many have like used it or tried it out? Okay, awesome. Okay, so pretty good show of hands. So I'll just get started on like the like, you know, overview on agents. I think that like this is I think something that people have seen before, but I think it still is taking some time to like really sink in how AI features are evolving, you know. So I think like when GPT, you know, 3 came out, it was really about like single LLM features, right? You're like, oh, like, hey, can you categorize this? Like return a response in one of these categories. And then we've got more like workflow like things, right? Hey, like, can you like take this email and label it? Or like, hey, here's my code base, like index via RAG. Can you give me like the next completion or the next file to edit, right? And so that's what we call like a workflow, where you're very like structured. You're like, hey, like, given this code, give me code back out, right? And now we're getting to agents, right? And like the canonical agent to me is Claude Code, right? Claude Code is a tool where you don't really tell it, we don't restrict what it can do really, right? You're just talking to it in text, and it will take a really wide variety of actions, right? And so agents build their own context, like decide their own trajectories, are working very, very autonomously, right? And so, and I think like as the future goes on, like agents will get more and more autonomous. I think it's like we're kind of at a break point where we can start to build these agents. They're not perfect, you know, but it's definitely like the right time to get started. So, Claude Code, I'm sure many of you have tried or use. I think the first true agent, right? Like the first time where I saw an AI working for like 10, 20, 30 minutes, right? So it's a coding agent. And the Claude Agent SDK is actually built on top of Claude Code. The reason we did that is because basically we found that when we were building agents at Anthropic, we kept rebuilding the same parts over and over again. And so to give you a sense of like what that looks like, of course, they're the models to start, right? And then in the harness, you've got tools, right? And that's like sort of the first obvious step, like let's add some tools to this harness. And later on, we'll give an example of sort of like trying to build your own harness from scratch too, and what that looks like and how challenging it can be. But tools are not just like your own custom tools, they might be tools to track with your file system, like with Claude Code. Did the volume just go up, or were they not holding it close enough? Okay, there's some echo now. Okay, anyways, got tools you run in a loop, and then you have the prompts, right? Like the core agent prompts, the prompts for the tools, things like that. And then finally you have the file system, right? You have the file system. The file system is a way of context engineering that we'll talk more about later, right? And I think like one of the key insights we had through Cloud Code was thinking a lot more through the like context, not just a prompt, it's also the tool, the files, the scripts that it can use. And then there are skills, which we've like rolled out recently, and we can talk more about skills if that's interesting to you guys as well. And then, yeah, things like sub agents, web search, you know, like research, compacting, hooks, memory. There are all these like other things around the harness as well. It ends up being quite a lot. So the Cloud Agent SDK is all of these things packaged up for you to use, right? And yeah, you have your application. So I think like, to give you a sense of, maybe why the Cloud Agent SDK is, people are already building agents on the SDK. A lot of software agents, software reliability, security, incident triaging, bug finding, site and dashboard builders, these are extremely popular. If you're using it, you should absolutely use the SDK. MS Office agents, if you're doing any sort of office work, tons of examples there. Got some legal, finance, healthcare ones. There are tons of people building on top of it. So why the Cloud Agent SDK, right? Like, why did we do it this way? It's why did we build it on top of Cloud Code? And we realized basically that as soon as we put Cloud Code out, the engineers started using it, but then the finance people started using it, and the data science people started using it, and the marketing people started using it. And I think we just realized that people were using Cloud Code for non-coding tasks. And we felt, and as we were building, non-coding agents, we kept coming back to it, right? And so we'll go more into why that just works, why you could use Cloud Code for non-coding tasks. Spoiler alert, it's like the Bash tool. It was something that we saw as an emergent pattern that we want to use, and we've built our agents on top of it, right? And these are lessons that we've learned from deploying Cloud Code that we've sort of baked in. So tool use errors or compacting or things like that. Stuff that is like very, can take a lot of scale to find, what are the best practices, we sort of baked into the Cloud Agent SDK. As a result, we have a lot of strong opinions on the best way to build agents. I think the Cloud Agent SDK is quite opinionated. I'll talk over some of these opinions and why we chose them, right? One of the big opinions of the Bash tool is the most powerful agent tool. So, okay, what I would describe as the Anthropic way to build agents, right? And I'm not saying that you can only build agents using the API this way, right? But this is if you're using our opinionated stack on the Agent SDK, what is it, right? So roughly Unix primitives, like the Bash and file system, and we're gonna go over prototyping an agent using Cloud Code, and my goal is really to sort of show you what that looks like in real time, right? Like, why is Bash useful? Why is the file system useful? Why not just use tools? Agents, you can also make workflows, and we'll talk about that a bit later, but agents build their own context. Thinking about code generation for non-coding, we use CodeGen to generate docs, query the web, do data analysis, take unstructured action. So there's a lot of this can be pretty counterintuitive to some people, and again, in the prototyping session, we'll go over how to use code generation for non-coding agents. Every agent has a container or is hosted locally because this is Cloud Code. It needs a file system, it needs Bash, it needs to be able to operate on it. And so it's a very, very different architecture. I'm not planning to talk too much about the architecture today, but we can at the end if that's what people are interested in. Or sorry, by architecture, I mean hosting architecture. Like, how do you host an agent? And what are best practices there? Have you talk about that at the end? Well, let me pause there because I feel like I covered a lot already. Any questions so far on the Agent SDK, agents, what you get from it?
Can you explain what code generation for non-coding means exactly?
Yeah. This is basically when you ask Cloud Code to do a task, right? Like, let's say that you ask it to find the weather in San Francisco and, like, you know, tell me what I should wear or something, right? Like, what it might do is it might start writing a script to fetch a weather API, right? And then start, like, maybe it wants it to be reusable. Like, maybe you want to do this pretty often, right? So it might fetch the weather API and then get the, like, maybe even get your location dynamically, right, based on your IP address. And then it will, like, you know, check the weather and then maybe, like, call out to, like, a sub-agent to give you recommendations. Maybe there's an API for your closet or wardrobe, right? It's like, so that's an example. I think that, like, it's kind of, for any single example, we can talk over how you might use CodeGen. A lot of it is, like, composing APIs is, like, the high-level way to think about it. Yeah.
Workflow versus agent, like for repetitive task or, you know, like a process, a business process that is always the same, do you will still prefer to build an agent versus a fully deterministic workflow?
Yeah, so we do have, so the question was about workflows versus agents, and would you still use the Cloud Agent SDK for workflows, is that right? Yes, and so, we just sort of tell you what we do internally, basically. And what we do internally is we've done a lot of, like, GitHub automations and Slack automations built on the Cloud Agent SDK. So, you know, we have a bot that triages issues when it comes in. That's a pretty workflow-like thing. But we've still found that, you know, in order to triage issues, we want it to be able to clone the code base and sometimes spin up a Docker container and test it and things like that. And so it still ends up being, like, a very... Like, there's a lot of steps in the middle that need to be quite free-flowing, and then you, like, give structured output at the end. So, yes. All right, we'll take one more question and then keep going. So, yeah, in the blue.
Yeah, so could you talk about security and guardrails? Like, if you know, you're using Cloud Agent SDK and, you know, you lean towards using Bash as the, you know, all-powerful generic tool, then is the onus on building the agent builder to make sure that, you know, you're preventing against, like, common attack vectors, or is that something that the model is doing by itself?
Yeah, so I think this is sort of like the Swiss cheap. Oh yeah, sorry. So the question was permissions on the Bash tool, right? Or, like, how do you think about permissions and guardrails? The, like, and, like, when you're giving the agent this much power over, you know, your its environment and the computer, how do you make sure it's aligned, right? And so the way we think about this is what we call, like, the Swiss cheese defense, right? So, like, there is like, on every layer, some defenses, and together we hope that it, like, blocks everything, right? So obviously on the model layer, we do a lot of alignment there. We actually just put out a really good paper on reward hacking. Super recommend you check that out. So, like, definitely, I think Claude models, like, we try and make them very, very aligned, right? And so, yeah, there's the model alignment behavior. Then there is, like, the harness itself. Right, and so we have a lot of, like, permissioning and prompting, like, we do AST path parser on the Bash tool, for example, so we know fairly reliably, like, what the Bash tool is actually doing, and definitely not something you want to build yourself. And then finally, the last layer is sandboxing, right? So, like, let's say that someone has maliciously taken over your agent, what can it actually do? We've included a sandbox, and, like, where you can sandbox network request and sandbox file system operations outside of the file system. And so, yeah, ultimately that's what they call, like, the lethal trifecta, right? Is, like the ability to, like, execute code in an environment, change a file system, exfiltrate the code, right? I think I'm getting the lethal trifecta a little bit wrong there, but, like, the idea is basically, like, if they can exfiltrate your, like, information back out, right? That's, like, they still need to be able to extract information. And so if you sandbox the network, that's a good way of doing it. If you're hosting on a sandbox container like Cloudflare, Modal, or you know, E2B, Daytona, like all of these like sandbox providers, they've also done like some level of security there, right? Like you're not hosting it on your personal computer or on a computer with like your prod secrets or something. So yeah, lots of different layers there. And yeah, we can talk more about hosting in depth. So I'm gonna talk a little bit about Bash is All You Need, you know? I think this is something that, this is like my shtick, you know. I'm just gonna like keep talking about this until everyone like agrees with me, I think it's something that we found at Anthropic. I think it is sort of something I discovered once I got here. Bash is what makes Cloud Code so good, right? So I think like you guys have probably seen like Code Mode or programmatic tool use, right? Like the different ways of like composing MCPs. Cloudflare put out some blog posts on that. We put out some blog posts. The way I think about Code Mode is like, or Bash, is that it was like the first Code Mode, right? So the Bash tool allows you to, you know, like store the results of your tool calls to files, store memory, dynamically generate scripts and call them, compose functionality like tail, grep. It lets you use existing software like FFmpeg or LibreOffice, right? So there's a lot of like interesting things and powerful things that the Bash tool can do. And like, think about, like, again, what made Cloud Code so good. If you were designing an agent harness, maybe what you would do is you'd have a search tool and a lint tool and an execute tool, right? And like, you know, N tools, right? Like every time you thought of like a new use case, you're like, I need to have another tool now, right? Instead, now Cloud just uses grep, right? And knows your package manager, so it runs like npm run, like, test.ts or index.ts or whatever, right? Like it can lint, right? And it can find out how you lint, right? And it can run npm run lint. If you don't have a linter, it can be like, what if I install ESLint for you, right? So this is like, you know, like I said, the first programmatic tool calling, first code mode, right? Like you can do a lot of different actions very, very generically, right? And so to talk about this a little bit in the context of non-coding agents, right? So let's say that we have an email agent and the user is like, okay, how much did I spend on ride sharing this week? It's got one tool call, or generally it's got the ability to search your inbox, right? And so it can run a query like, hey, search Uber or Lyft, right? And without Bash, it searches Uber or Lyft, it gets like 100 emails or something, and now it's just got to like think about it. You know what I mean? And I think like a good like analogy is sort of like, imagine if someone came to you with like a stack of papers and like, hey, how much did I spend on ride sharing this week? Can you like read through my emails? You know what I mean? Like that would be really hard, right? Like you need very, very good precision and recall to do it. Or with Bash, right? Like, let's say there's a Gmail search script, right? It takes in a query function. And then you can start to save that query function to a file or type it. You can grep for prices, you know, you can then add them together. You can check your work too, right? Like you can say, okay, let me grep all my prices, store those as like in a file with line numbers, and then let me then be able to check afterwards, like, was this actually a price? Like, what does each one correlate to, right? So there's a lot more like dynamic information you can do to check your work with the Bash tool. So this is like just a simple example, but like hopefully showing you sort of the power of like the composability of Bash, right? So I'll pause there. Any questions on Bash is All You Need, the Bash tool, anything I can make a little bit clearer? Yeah.
Do you have stats on how many people?
Stats on YOLO mode, we probably do. I mean, internally we don't, but that's just, I think we just have a higher security posture. I'm not sure. I can probably pull that. Any other questions on Bash? Okay, cool. Just to give you like some more examples, like let's say that you had an email API and you wanted to, go through, like, fetch my, like, tell me who emailed me this week, right? So you've got two APIs. You've got an inbox API and a contact API. This is, like, a way you can do it via Bash. You can also do it via CodeGen. This is kind of, like, enough Bash that it is CodeGen, right? Like, Bash is a ostensibly co-gentle. And then, yeah, like, let's say that you had a video meeting agent, right? You want to say, like, find all the moments where the speaker says quarterly results in this earnings call, right? You can use ffmpeg to, like, slice up this video, right? You can use JQ to, like, start analyzing the information afterwards. So, yeah, lots of, like, powerful ways to use Bash. So, all right, I'm going to talk a little bit about workflows and agents. Yeah, you can do both. You could use build workflows and agents on the agent SDK. Yeah, agents are like Cloud Code. So if you are like building something where you want to talk to it in natural language and take action flexibly, right, then that's where you're building an agent, right? Like you have an agent that talks to your like business data and you want to get insights or dashboards or answer questions or write code or something, like that's an agent, right? And then a workflow is kind of like, you know, we do a lot of GitHub actions, for example, right? So you define the inputs and outputs very closely, right? So you're like, okay, take in a PR and give me a code review. And yeah, both of these you can use the Agent SDK for. When building workflows, you can use structured outputs. We just released this. You can, yeah, Google Agent SDK structured outputs. But yeah, so you can do both. I'm going to primarily be talking about agents right now. A lot of the things that you can like learn from this are applicable to workflows as well. So yeah, we'll talk about this. Wait, show of hands, how many people have like designed an agent loop before? Okay, cool. Okay, great. So yeah, I mean, I think the number one thing, the meta learning for designing an agent loop to me is just to read the transcripts over and over again. Like every time you see the agent run, just read it and figure out like, hey, what is it doing? Why is it doing this? Can I help it out somehow, right? We'll do some of that later, right? So we'll build an agent loop. But here is the three parts to an agent loop, right? So first, it's gather context, right? Second is taking action. And the third is verifying the work, right? And this is like not the only way to build an agent, but I think a pretty good way to think about it. Gathering context is like, you know, for Cloud Code, it's grepping and finding the files needed, right? You know, for an email agent, it's like finding the relevant emails, right? And so these are all like pretty, I think thinking about how it finds this context is very important. And I think a lot of people sort of skip the step or like underthink it. This can be like very, very important. And then taking action, how does it like do its work? Does it have the right tools to do it, like code generation, Bash? These are more flexible ways of taking action, right? And then verification is another really important step. And so basically what I'd say right now is like, if you're thinking of building an agent, think about like, can you verify its work, right? And if you can verify its work, it's like a great like candidate for an agent. If you can't verify its work, like it's like, you know, coding, you can verify by linting, right? And you can at least make sure it compiles. So that's great. If you're doing, let's say, deep research, for example, it's actually a lot harder to verify your work. One way you can do it is by citing sources, right? So that's like a step in verification. But obviously research is less verifiable than code in some ways, right? Because like code has a compile step, right? You can also like execute it and see what it does, right? So I think like thinking on, you know, like as we build agents, the ones that are closest to being very general are the ones with the verification step that is very strong, right? So I think there was a question here, yeah.
So where do you generate the plan of the work
you need to run? Yeah, I mean, you might... Oh yeah, sorry, the question was, when do you generate a plan before you run through it? So, like in Cloud Code, you don't always generate a plan, but if you want to, you'd insert it between the gathering context and taking action step, right? And so, plans sort of help the agent think through step by step, but they add some latency, right? And so there is like some trade-off there. But yeah, the Agent SDK helps you like do some planning as well. So yeah. Yeah.
Can you like make the agent create that to-do list? Or like 100% sure that it will create that to-do list and run by it?
Yeah, so the question was, will the agent create the to-do list? Yes. If you're using the agent SDK, we have like some to-do tools that come with it, and so it will like maintain and check off to-dos, and you can display them as you go. So, yeah. Any other questions about this right now? Okay, cool. Okay, so I'm gonna quickly talk about like how do you do this stuff? You, like, what are your tools for doing it, right? And there are three things you can do. There, you have tools, bash, and code generation, right? And I think traditionally, I think a lot of people are only thinking about tools. And yeah, basically one of the call to actions is just figuring out, like, thinking about it more broadly, right? So tools are extremely structured and very, very reliable, right? Like, if you want to sort of have as fast an output as possible with minimal errors, minimal retries, tools are great. Cons, there are high context usage. If anyone's built an agent with like 50 or 100 tools, right? Like, they take up a lot of context and the model, it kind of gets a little bit confused, right? There's no like sort of discoverability of the tools, and they're not composable, right? And I say tools in the sense of like, if you're using, you know, messages or completion API right now, that's how the tools work. Of course, like, you know, there's like code mode and programmatic tool calling, so you can sort of blend some of these. But there's bash. So bash is very composable, right? Like static scripts, low context usage. It can take a little bit more discovery time, like, because, like, let's say that you have whatever, you have like the Playwright MCP or something like that, the Playwright CLI, the Playwright like bash tool. You can do playwright-help to figure out all the things you can do, but the agent needs to do that every time, right? So it needs to like discover what it can do, which is kind of powerful. That it helps take away some of the high context usage, but add some latency. There might be slightly lower call rates, you know, just because like it has a little bit more time to, it needs to like find the tools and what it can do. But this will definitely like improve as it goes. And then finally, code gen. Highly composable, dynamic scripts. They take the longest to execute, right? So they need linting, possibly compilation. API design becomes like a very, very interesting step here, right? And I'll talk more about like best, like how to think about API design in an agent. But yeah, I think this is like how you, like the three tools you have. And so yeah, using tools, think you still want some tools, but you want to think about them as atomic actions. Your agent usually needs to execute in sequence, and you need a lot of control over, right? So, for example, in Claude Code, we don't use bash to write a file. We have a write file tool, right? Because we want the user to be able to sort of see the output and approve it, and we're not really composing write file with other things, right? It's like a very atomic action. Sending an email is another example. Like any sort of like destructible or sort of like, you know, unreversible change is definitely like a tool is a good place for that. Then we've got bash. So for example, there are like composable actions like searching a folder, using GitHub, linting code and checking for errors or memory. And so yeah, you can write files to memory and that can be your bash, like bash can be your memory system, for example, right? So, and then finally you've got code generation, right? So if you're trying to do this like highly dynamic, very flexible logic, composing APIs, like you're doing data analysis or deep research or like reusing patterns. And so, yeah, we'll talk more about code generation in a bit. Any questions so far about like the SDK loop or tools versus bash versus code gen? Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask, are you going to have any ready-made tools for like offloading tool file results?
Offloading tool file results like into the file system, or
like, let's say it goes to bash and then the context explodes. Is it like type the command that like blew everything up?
Okay.
Or otherwise just like long outputs polluting your history?
Sure. Yeah.
I'm after like all the time just uploading them to files.
Yeah. I think that's a good common practice. I think I remember seeing some PRs about this very recently on Cloud Code about handling very long outputs, and I don't know exactly. Like I think I think we are moving towards a place where more and more things are being like just stored in the file system, and this is like a good example. Yeah, like storing like long outputs over time. I think like generally prompting the agent to do this is a good way to think about it. Or even if you have, I think like something I just do always now is like whenever I have a tool call, I save it like the results of the tool call to the file system so that you can like search across it and then have the tool call return the path of the result. Just because like that helps it like sort of recheck its work. So, yes.
Do you find that you need to use like the skills structure to help plot along to use the bash better, or out of the box, you know, that's not necessary?
Yeah, so the question was about skills and like, do we need skills to use bash better? Yeah, for context skills, maybe again, okay. Skills, okay, yeah. Skills are basically a way of like, you know, allowing our agent to take longer complex tasks and like sort of load in things via context, right? So some, like for example, we have a bunch of docx skills, and these docx skills tell it how to do code generation to generate these files, right? And so, yeah, I think overall skills are basically just a collection of files. They're also sort of like an example of being very like file system or bash tool pilled, right? Because they're really just folders that your agent can like CD into and like read, right? And so yeah, they give like what we found the skills are really good for is pretty like repeatable instructions that need a lot of expertise in them, like. For example, we released a front-end design skill recently that I really, really like, and it's really just sort of a very detailed and good prompt on how to do front-end design, but it comes from, like, our best, you know, like, AI front-end engineer, you know what I mean? And he, like, really put a lot of top thought and iteration to it. So that's one way of using skills. Yeah.
Quick question.
Yes.
Why use that front-end skill?
Sure.
Should some stuff be relegated to plot.md and some other stuff should only come to skill.md?
So the question was about skill.md versus claw.md and how to think about that, right? And I think, like, I'll say all of these concepts are so new, you know what I mean? Like, even Claude Code is, like, released it, like, 8 or 9 months ago, right? Like, and so skills were released, like, 2 weeks ago. Like, I won't pretend to know all of the best practices for everything, right? I think generally skills are a form of progressive context disclosure, and that's sort of a pattern that we've talked about a bunch, right? Like, with, like, bash and, you know, like, preferring that over like, you know, purely like normal tool calls is like, it's a way of like the agent being like, okay, I need to do this. Let me find out how to do this. And then let me read in the skill.md, right? So you ask it to make a docx file and then it like CDs into the directory, reads how to do it, writes some scripts and keeps going. So, yeah, I think like there's still some intuition to build around like what exactly you like define as a skill and how you split it out. Yeah, I think, yeah, lots of best practices to learn there still. Yeah.
So yesterday, we talked about the future of skills
and how it
evolves over time. Do you see these as ultimately becoming part of the model and you need less of the skills? This is just a way to bridge the gap for now.
Yeah, so the question was, are skills ultimately part of the model? Are they a way to bridge the gap? I missed Barry's talk, Barry and Mesh's talk yesterday, but yeah, I think roughly the idea is that the model will get better and better at doing a wide variety of tasks, and skills are the best way to give it out of distribution tasks, right? But I would broadly say that like it's really, really hard, especially like, you know, if you're like not at a lab to like tell where the models are going exactly. My general rule of thumb is like I try and like rethink or rewrite my like agent code like every 6 months just because I'm like, things have probably changed enough that I've like baked in some assumptions here. And so, like, I think that like our agent SDK is built to as much as possible sort of advance with capabilities, right? Like, the bash tool will get better and better. We're building it on top of Cloud Code, so as Cloud Code evolves, you'll get those wins out of the gate. But at the same time, like, you know, things are so different now, like, than they were a year ago in terms of like AI engineering, right? And I think like a general best practice to me is sort of like, hey, we can write code 10 times faster, we should throw out code 10 times faster as well. And I think thinking about like, not so like hedging your bets on like, where is the future right now, but like, what can we do today that really works, right? And like, let's get market share today and not be afraid to throw out code later. If you're a startup, this is arguably your largest advantage that you have over competitors. They're like, you know, larger companies have like 6-month incubation cycles, and so they're always like stuck in the past of like the agent capabilities, right? And so your advantage is that you can like be like, hey, the capabilities are here right now, let me build something that uses this right now, right? So any other questions on, we're talking about skills and bash. Okay, it seems like there are a lot of skill questions. So I think at the back, someone, you might have to shout.
Yeah, so why would you use a skill versus an API? They look very similar to that Python program. There could be a package, right?
Yeah, so the question was, why use a skill versus an API? Good question. I think that like, when you, like, these are all forms of progressive disclosure, basically, to the agent to figure out what it needs to do. And I'll go over, like, examples of, like, you just have an API, right, in our prototyping session. It's totally, like, use case dependent, right? Like, just, I think, like, I don't have a, like, I don't think there's a general rule. I think it's, like, read the transcript and see what your agent wants. If your agent always wants, like, thinks about the API better as, like, a API.ts file or something, or API.py file, do that. You know, that's great. Like, I think skills are like sort of an introduction into like thinking about the file system as a way of storing context, right? And they're a great abstraction, but there are many ways to use the file system. And I should say that like something about skills is that like you need the bash tool, you need a virtual file system, things like that. So the agent SDK is like basically the only way to really use skills to like their full extent right now. So back there.
Can we expect a marketplace for skills from?
Yeah, the question was, can we expect a marketplace for skills? So Cloud Code has a plugin marketplace that you can also use with the agent SDK. We're evolving that over time. You know, like it was like a very much a V0. And by marketplace, I'm not sure if people will be charging for this exactly. It's more just like a discovery system, I think. That exists right now. You can do /plugins in Cloud Code, and you can find some. So, yeah. Yep.
What's your current thinking about when you're going to reach for like the SDK, you know, to solve a problem?
So question is, when do I use the SDK to solve a problem? If I'm building an agent, basically, I think that like, my overall belief is that, like, for any agent, the bash tool gives you so much power and flexibility, and using the file system gives you so much power and flexibility that you can always eke out performance gains over it, right? And so, in the prototyping part of this talk, we're going to like look at an example with only tools and an example with bash and the file system, and compare those two. That's what I mean by being bash tool built. I'm like, I just like start from the agent SDK, you know, and I think a lot of people at Anthropic have started like doing that as well. So, of course, I do want to say that there are lots of times where the agent SDK is kind of annoying because you've got like this network sandbox container and you're like, I don't want to do this. You know what I mean? Like, I want to run on my browser locally, right? I totally get that. I think there is like a real performance trade-off. The way I think about it is sort of like React versus like jQuery. You know, when I was coming up, I was like very into web dev, and like, you know, I was using jQuery and Backbone, and then React came out and it was by Facebook, and they're like, you have to, here's JSX, like we just made this up, and now there's a bundler, right? And I'm like, oh, it's so annoying. But like it generally makes the model, or it made web apps more powerful, right? And I think we're sort of like the agent SDKs are sort of like the React of agent frameworks to me, because it's like we build our own stuff on top of it, so you know it's real, and all the annoying parts of it are just like things where we're annoyed about it too, but we're like, it just works. Like, you have, like, gotta do this, you know? Okay, well, more skill questions, I guess? Yeah, right here.
I don't know what's the question.
Oh, sure, bash question, great, I love
you got
bash.
Custom internal, like, bash tools.
Yeah.
How do you let the agent discover that, or do those have to become tools as tools?
Okay, the question is, if you have custom agent bash tools, how do you let the agent discover that? By custom bash tools, do you mean like bash scripts? So I think, where is it? You just put it in the file system, and you tell it, like, hey, like, here is a script. You can call it, you know, I'm generally thinking in the context of the Cloud Agent SDK, where it has the file system and the bash tools are tied together. This is kind of an anti-pattern I see sometimes, where people are like, oh, like, we're going to host the bash tool in this, like, virtualized place, and it's not going to interact with other parts of, like, the agent loop, you know? And that sort of, you know, makes it hard, because if you got a tool result that's saving a file, then your bash tool can't, like, read it, you know what I mean? Unless it's all in one container. So does that answer your question? Like,
Kind of. I mean, like, so you're just saying you just put it in like system prompt or something?
Yeah, just put in system prompt, being like, hey, you have access to this. I would like sort of design all my CLI scripts to have like a dash dash help or something, so that the model can call that, and then it can like progressively disclose like every like sub command inside of the script. Yeah. Yeah, McTheron.
Yeah. So, like, my question is around when to reach for the agent SDK. So, have you designed, or rather, would you recommend someone use the agent SDK to build like a generic chat agent, as compared to like, oh, you know, I'm building an agent where you have some input and the agent goes and does some stuff and finally I care about the output, as compared to, let's say, someone like, are you using or do you foresee using the agent to build like the agent SDK to build like Claude the app rather than Claude code?
So the question is, when do we reach for the agent SDK? Like, would we use the agent SDK to build Claude.ai, which is a more traditional chatbot, than Claude Code? I think Claude Code is, like, a very, like interface is not a traditional chatbot interface, but, like, the inputs and outputs are right? Like, you input code in, you get, like, or you input text in, you get text out, and it takes actions along the way. You might have seen that, like, when we rolled out doc creation for Claude.ai, now it has the ability to spin up a file system and like create spreadsheets and PowerPoint files and things like that by generating code. And so that is like, you know, we're in the midst of sort of like merging our agent loops and stuff like that, but broadly, Claude.ai will like is getting more and more, like, you see it with skills and the memory tool and stuff, more and more file system build, right? So we do think this is like a broad thing that you can use just generally, and happy to talk through examples. One more question, then we'll keep going. Yeah.
Still trying to understand the rule of thumb on when to build a tool or use a tool, when to wrap something with a script or just let the agent go wild on the bash. Because I'll give you an example. Let's say I need to access a database from time to time. I can use an MCP, I can wrap it in a script, and I can just let the agent call an endpoint from that directly from bash, right?
Yeah, great question. So it's still trying to grok like when to use tools versus bash versus cogen, and he gave an example like, okay, I have a database. I want the agent to be able to access it in some way. What should I do? Should I create a tool that queries the database in some way? Should I use the bash? Should I use cogen, right? These are three ways of doing it. I think that they are, like, you could use any of them, and I think, like, part of it is, like, I think, unfortunately, there's no, like, single best practice, right? This is, like, kind of a system design problem. But let's say that you want to access your bash, your database via a tool, you would do that if your database was very, very structured, and you have to be very careful about, like, I know you're accessing like user sensitive information or something like that, and you're like, hey, I can only take in this input and I need to like give this output, and I have to mask everything else about the database from the agent, right? Obviously that like sort of limits what the agent can do, right? Like it can't write a very dynamic query, right? If you're writing a full-on SQL query, I would definitely use Bash or CodeGen, just because when the model is writing a SQL query, it can make mistakes. And the way it fixes it is its mistakes is by like linting or like running the file, looking at the output, seeing if there are errors, and then iterating on it, right? And so I generally, like, if I'm building an agent today, I'm giving it as much access to my database as possible, and then I'm like putting in guardrails, right? Like I'm probably limiting its like write access in different ways. But what I would do is like I would give it write access and put in specific rules and then give it feedback if it tries to do something it can't do. You know what I mean? And so I know this is like kind of a hard problem, but I think this is the like set of problems for us to solve, right? Like we built a bash tool parser, and that's a super annoying problem. But we need to solve that in order to like let the agent work generally, right? And same thing with like database, like yes, it's quite hard to understand what is a query doing, but if you can solve that, you can let your agent work more generally over time. So I think thinking about it like flexibly as much as possible and keeping tools to be like very, very like sort of atomic actions, right? That you need a lot of guarantees around. So the question is, how do you ensure that the role-based access controls are taken care of? Usually that's in like how you provision your API key or your backend service or something like that, right? Like I think that like probably what I do is like I create like temporary API keys. Sometimes people create proxies in between to insert the API keys, if you're concerned about exfiltration of that. But yeah, I would create like API keys for your agents that are scoped in certain ways, and so then on the back end you can sort of check its like, you know, what it's trying to do, and like if it's an agent, you can like give it different feedback. So yeah. All right, yeah, one more question.
Anything you could tell us more about the memory tool, the internal memory tool?
I'm not trying to like keep a secret. I don't know exactly, like I haven't read the code, but I think it generally works on the file system. And so
can you expose it to the SDK, or is it already been there?
I would say that like we've had this question a bunch. I would just use the file system in the Cloud Agent SDK. I would just create like a memories folder or something and tell it to write memories there. It's like I don't know the exact implementation of the memory tool, but it does use the file system in that way. So yeah. Last question on this. Yeah.
How you are managing for the bash and the code? How you are managing the reusability? Suppose the same agent is rolled out to hundreds of users, and same code every time it is generating and every time it is executing. So how can we use the reusability?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So. Let's say you have two agents interacting with two different people. The question is, like, how do you think about reusability between agents, or how do agents communicate, right? I think this is a thing to be discovered, I think. Like, I think there's a lot of best practices and system design to be done on, like, because traditionally with web apps, you're serving one app to, like, a million people, right? And with agents, like with Cloud Code, we serve like, you know, a one-to-one like container. When you use Cloud Code on the web, it's like, it's your container, right? And so there's not a lot of like communication between containers. It's a very, very different paradigm. I'm not gonna say that like, I know exactly the best system design to do that, right? And like, I think there's a lot of best practices on like, okay, these agents are reusing work. How can we give them like general scripts that combine together the work that they've done? How can we make them share it? I would generally think, this is sort of like a tangent, but on like agent communication frameworks, I would say that like we probably don't need like a whole, I think this is more of a personal opinion, I think like we probably don't need to reinvent like a new communication system, there are like the agents are good at using the things that we have, like HTTP requests and hash tools and API keys and named pipes and all of these things. And so like probably like the agents are just making HTTP requests back and forth from each other, you know, using HTTP server. There's a bunch of interesting work there. I've seen people make like a virtual forum for their agents to communicate, and they like post topics and like reply and stuff like that. Kind of cool. I think there's a lot of things to explore and discover there. Yeah. Okay, gonna keep going a little bit. How are we doing for time? Okay, it's got an hour left, I think. Okay, cool. So an example of designing an agent. This is not the prototyping session, but I think this is like will be a good sort of like leeway into it. Let's say we're making a spreadsheet agent. What is the best way to search a spreadsheet? What's the best way to execute code? Or what's the best way to take action in a spreadsheet? What is the best way to link to a spreadsheet, right? These are all like really interesting things to do. I'm going to do like a Figma and we can go over it. If someone could grab a water as well, that would be great. Could really use water. Thanks. Okay, so we're going to, let's talk through it. Or why don't you spend like a couple minutes yourselves thinking about this question? You have a spreadsheet agent. You want it to be able to search, you want it to be able to like gather context, take action, verify its work. How would you think about it, right? So like, just spend some time thinking through that, take some notes or something. Okay, has everyone had a little bit of time to think about this? Does anyone want more time, or want to just dive into it? Okay, what's the best way for an agent to search a spreadsheet? Realizing I have to type with one hand down. I should figure this out, because I'm going to type later. Okay, searching a spreadsheet. Any ideas? How do you search a spreadsheet? Like, what would you do?
CSV.
Okay, you've got a CSV. Okay, now like your agent wants to like search the CSV. What does it do? It greps it. Okay. What does the grep look like?
It needs to look at all the headers.
Looks at the headers, okay.
Headers of all sheets.
Okay, great, yeah. And let's say I'm looking for the revenue in 2024 or something. Now I've got my headers, I'm just gonna pull up a spreadsheet, right? Let's say that the revenue is in, there's a revenue column, and then there's like a, let's see. Okay, so yeah, let's say it's something like this, right? How do I get revenue in 2026, right? So this is sort of like a tabular problem, right? Like there is revenue here and there's also 2026 here, right? So it's like a multi-dimensional step, right? We could look at the headers that will then give us, if you just pull this, you'll get 100, 200, 300, right? So we need a little bit more. Any other ideas? Yeah?
There's a bash tool for it.
awk, AWK, I think.
Awk? Okay. Yeah. And what would it awk for?
Well, it depends on what you're looking for.
Yeah. That's a question, right? Like, what is the user looking for, right? They're probably looking for something like this, like revenue in 2026, right?
Maybe use the APIs to use the Google tools to add all the numbers together, or we look up something like this.
Yeah, so the idea is, like, use the APIs, like, use the Google APIs to, like, look it up. That's great, but yeah, let's say we're working locally, we need to sort of design these APIs, yeah?
SQLite or DuckDB can query the CSV directly and work
pretty well. Oh, interesting. Okay, yeah, I didn't know that. That's great. So yeah, you use SQLite to query a CSV. That's a great, like, sort of creative way of thinking about API interfaces, right? Like, if you can translate something into a interface that the agent knows very well, that's great, right? And so, like, if you have a data source, if you can convert it into a SQL query, then your agent really knows how to search SQL, right? So thinking about this transformation step is really, really interesting. It's a great way of, like, designing, like, an agentic search interface. So, yeah, over there.
Try real quick, when we're talking about tools, because you can use TSV for some of the stuff as well.
Yeah.
Is there any kind of ranking within the tool? Is Claude smart enough to start ranking the right tool for the right job? Because that's kind of what we're talking about here, is right tool for the right job.
Yeah, is Claude smart enough to rank the right tool for that job? Yeah, if you prompt it, you know, like, or like, I think this is one of those things where, like, I don't know, let's find out, like, let's read the transcript. If it's not, like, how can you help it? Yeah, just sort of like, I think all of these things are like an intuition, you know, it's like kind of like riding a horse. Not that I've ever rode a horse, but I know, just like, I imagine it's like riding a horse. Yeah, like you like, you know, you're sort of giving these signals to the horse, or calming it down, you're trying to understand how do you push it faster, you know what I mean? And sort of like, it's a very organic, like, thing, right? Like, I think we like to say that models are grown and not designed, right? So we're like sort of understanding their capabilities, yeah. And where it is, yeah.
Quick question, so is there a way to add like metadata to the spreadsheet? Can you give descriptions as a different document?
Yeah, that's
so, for example, KPIs, I'm trying to get an idea, right? To like build intelligent address questions about a spreadsheet.
Yeah, so that's another great pattern is like, okay, can you add metadata to a spreadsheet? So these are some questions that you might want to think about before, like when you're thinking about search, is like, what pre-processing can you do to make the search better, right? And so one example is that you translate it into like a SQL format or something where you use something that can query it, right? That's like a translation step. Another step is like maybe you have a tool or like a pre-processing step where another agent annotates the spreadsheet and like adds information so that the agent can then like search across that information better, right? So yeah, one more.
I was just curious.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all those tools sound great, but
yeah.
Why can't the agent just, you know, do what was suggested, read the header, and then just get the date? Like, I feel like that should be pretty trivial for green text.
Yeah, probably I should have, like, prepared this in code. but, yeah, well, I built a ton of spreadsheet agents before, basically.
Does that work?
It's kind of hard to do.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically what I would think about is, like, so we've got, like, okay, Sean, do you have suggestions on how it can talk and code at the same time? Go ahead.
Install voice to text on your
computer. Oh, I see. Yeah. Do you work at Whisperflow or something? Or
take the mic in your shirt.
There's a microphone button on the mat.
There's a microphone button on the mat.
Stick the mic in your shirt.
Oh, I just don't trust that stuff, man. Okay. Maybe I shouldn't be working in an AI lab. okay, so let's see.
Make someone hold it for you. Make someone hold it for you.
Hold on. Okay. So one way to do it is like you see in spreadsheets, right? Like you can say here, you can design formulas, right? So like B3 2. Right. So this is a syntax, for example, that the agent's pretty familiar with, like B3 to B5, right? And so you can design an agentic search interface, which is like this, right? Like B3, B5, 5 or something, right? So like your agentic search interface can take in a range, right? You can take in a range string, right? And these are things that like the agent knows pretty well, right? Like you can do SQL queries, right? The agent knows SQL queries pretty well, right? Like these, you can also do XML, right? Sorry, the font is so small. You can also do XML. I'm not sure if you guys know, but like XLX files are XML in the backend, right? And XML is very structured. You can do like an XML search query, and there are different libraries that can do that. So that's one example, right? Is like, how do you search and gather context? And I hope this sort of like illustrates to you that like gathering context is really, really creative, right? Like, and like there's so many iterations, and if you've only tried one iteration, it's probably not enough, right? Like, think about like as many different ways as you can. Like, try these out, right? Like, try SQL, try the search, try the grep and awk, and like all of these things, and have a few tests that you're trying across different things, and see what the agent likes and what it doesn't like. It's going to be different for each case.
Sorry.
Yeah.
When you say agent, you're referring to Claude, the model, or because we're building an agent here.
Yeah.
And you're relying on already pre-existing knowledge of how you deal with XML. Who's doing that, the model?
Yeah, because the question is like, where does the knowledge come from? Is it the model? Is it like, what do I mean by the agent? Yeah, generally, I think what you're looking for is like, you have a problem, you want to make it as in distribution as possible for the agent, right? And so the agent knows a lot about a lot of different things. It knows a lot about, for example, finance, right? So if you ask it to make a DCF model, it knows what DCF is, right? And you can, if you want to give it more information, you can make a skill, right? But so it knows what DCF is, it knows what SQL is, can it combine those things together, right? And so like, ideally you want to like, your problem is gonna be out of distribution in some way, right? Like there's some like information that's not on the internet or something that you have, or something somewhat unique to you, and you want to try and like massage it to be as in distribution as possible. It's very, very creative, I think. Like, it's not like it's not a science to me. It's very much like an art. So, so we've tried gathering context, then taking action. We can probably do a lot of the same stuff here that we've done before, right? Like, we can do like insert 2D array, right? If we've got like a SQL interface, right, we can do a SQL query, we can edit XML. These are like often very similar, right? Like taking action and gathering context, that you probably want a similar API back and forth. And then the last thing is verifying work, right? Like how do you think about that? Check for null pointers, right, is one of the ways to do it. Any other ideas on verification or, yeah?
Sorry, I'm a bit confused, if
oh,
I
yeah.
may say.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, when you're using other SDKs to build agent,
yeah.
I don't need to tell it how it should gather the context.
Sure.
I just give it the context and
yeah.
explain, this is what, like, basically I explain in plain English
yeah.
what this meant to do.
Yeah.
And what I tend to do, and you tell me if I'm wrong, I actually end up creating a separate agent for QA.
Oh, interesting.
To
yeah.
to verify, because I don't trust the agent to verify itself.
Hmm.
But I'm confused about the level of detail I need to provide the agent in that example.
Yeah. Okay. So the question is about giving context to the agent versus having it gather its own context. You mentioned that you sometimes use a Q&A agent. Can I ask like what like domain you're building your agent in, or
in cybersecurity?
Okay, sure. Yeah. I think I need to like look into more specifics, but the Claude Agent SDK is great for cybersecurity, and like I would generally push people on like let the agent gather context as much as possible. You know, like let it find its own work as much as possible. You're trying to give it the tools to find its own work. The way I think about this is kind of like, let's say that someone locked you in a room and they were like giving you tasks, you know, like, so that's what your job was, like a Mr. Beast sort of like scenario, right? Like you get $500,000 if you stay in this room for 6 months. Then someone's giving you a message, what tools would you want to be able to do it, right? Like, would you just want like a list of papers, or like, would you want a calculator or like a computer, right? Probably I would want a computer, right? I'd want Google, I'd want like all of these things, right? And so like, I wouldn't want the person to send me like a stack of papers being like, hey, this is probably all the information you need. I'd rather just be like, hey, just give me a computer, give me the problem, let me search it and figure it out, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's how I think about agents as well. Like they need like, you know, they're stuck in a room.
So I need to give them tools. So if you can go back to the slide you have, to the graph you had.
To the graph, like
this,
you mean, or?
Yeah, the stuff. So basically, yeah. That gathering context is basically, these are the tools that I'm offering you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm giving it like maybe an API for code generation, maybe I'm giving it a SQL tool, maybe I'm giving it Bash. These are all like examples, right? So, yeah. You have one more question?
So, for all the agents that you're having a certain state,
yeah. Interesting. Yeah. So, do agents share the context window? I think this is like an interesting question. Just overall about how you manage context. I think, and I haven't talked about this too much yet, but sub agents are like a very, very important way of managing context. I think that this is like we're using more and more sub agents inside of Cloud Code, and I would think about like doing sub agents very generally. So, like what we might do for this spreadsheet agent is maybe we have a search sub-agent, right? So like sub-agents are great for when you need to do a lot of work and return an answer to the main agent. So for search, let's say the question is like, how do I find my revenue in 2026? Maybe you need to do a bunch of results. Maybe you need to like search the internet, maybe you need to search the spreadsheet, things like that. And there's a bunch of things that don't need to go into the context of the main agent. The main agent just needs to see the follow result, right? And so that's a great sub-agent task. I don't have a dedicated sub-agent slide here, but like, yeah, they're very, very useful, and I think a great way to think about things.
And just to build on that question,
yeah.
Actually, for verification, for example, you can imagine doing that through a skill or a sub-agent. You might even want to have an adversarial, like the security example is a great one. You want to have it really go to town on it and not really have any sympathetic relationship with the work already done. I get it's a spectrum, but do you like, are you saying yes, you'd use a sub-agent here, you'd use a skill? How would you think about this?
Yeah, definitely. So question on like, do you sub-agents or... Oh,
I'm sure it'll work just to make sure.
Oh, sure. Okay, yeah. Thank you. Appreciate it. Can you sub-agents for verification? Yes. I think this is a pattern. I think like, ideally, the best form of verification is rule-based, right? You're like, hey, is there like a null pointer or something? That's like easy verification. It doesn't lint or compile. Like as many rules as you can, try and insert them. And again, be creative, right? Like, for example, in Cloud Code, if the agent tries to write to a file that we know it hasn't read yet, like we haven't seen it enter the read cache, we throw it an error. We tell it like, hey, you haven't read this file yet. Try reading it first, right? And that's an example of sort of like a deterministic tool that we insert into the verification step. And so as much as possible, like anytime you are thinking about, you know, verification, first step is like, what can you do deterministically? What outputs can you do? And again, like when you're choosing which types of agents to make, the agents that have more deterministic rules are better. You know, like they just it just makes a lot of sense, right? So, of course, as the models get better and better at reasoning, then you can have these sub-agents that check the work of the main agent. The main thing there is to like avoid context pollution. So you probably wouldn't want to like fork the context. You'd probably want to start a new context session and just be like, hey, yeah, adversarially check the work of, like this output was made by a junior analyst at McKinsey or something. They graduated from not a great school, like their GPA, like feed it a bunch of stuff and then tell it to critique it, right? Like that's like one of the tools of the sub-agent, right? And so, the more you as the models get better and better, that sort of verification will become better as well. But doing it deterministically is like a great start. Yeah.
Just a question about the verify work. So so let's say we found null pointers, it's probably easy to just say, okay, fix it. But like, you know, let's say we deploy the production and the client is using it, that's not us, and they somehow get into a spot where the whole spreadsheet is deleted. And so like on what level do we need to bake in like the ability to like undo tools and stuff? Because like let's say the QA agent determines that their spreadsheet is empty.
Yeah.
Not necessarily is able to undo before. So like, you know, like what was your advice there?
Yeah, so the question is like, how do you think about state and like undoing and redoing, being able to fix errors, basically, right? I think this is like a really good question, and honestly, another sort of like when you think about like what are agents good at, right? Like, or what problem domains are agents good at? How reversible is the work is like a really good intuition, right? So code is quite reversible. You can just like go back, you can undo the Git history. We come with like, you know, these atomic operations right out of the gate, right? Like I use Git constantly through Cloud Code. I don't type Git commands anymore, right? So that's like a really good example. A really bad example is computer use, you know, because computer use is not reversible in state, right? Like let's say you go to like DoorDash.com and you add, like the user wants you to order a Coke and you order a Pepsi. Now, like you can't just go back and click on the Coke. You have to like go to the cart and you have to remove the Pepsi, right? And so your mistake has like compounded this, like, you know, this state, and the state machine has gotten more complex, right? And so like whenever we're dealing with like very, very complex state machines that you can't undo or redo of, it does become harder, right? And I think one of the questions for you as an engineer is like, can you turn this into a reversible state machine, kind of like you said? Can you store state between checkpoints such that the user can be like, oh, my spreadsheet is messed up right now, just go back to the previous checkpoint, right? Potentially even can the model go back to previous checkpoints? I think someone had this like time travel tool that they were giving one of the coding agents, which was kind of cool, where you're like, it's like, you can time travel back to a point before this happened, you know what I mean? It's kind of fun. I think like all of these tools, some of them don't work that well yet, but you know, we'll get there. Yeah, thinking about state and verification is very useful, right? So yeah, good question at the back.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious about scale. So what if the spreadsheet is like millions of rows, millions and hundreds of thousands of columns, right? Or just like any sort of database. Like in that type of situation, how would you go about searching? And there's obviously a context limit you have to cognate for.
Yeah, this is great. I probably should have done the spreadsheet example as my coding example. For a preview, my coding like agent is a Pokemon agent. Probably spreadsheet would have been better. Okay. The question was, what if the spreadsheet is very big? If you have a million rows, how do you think about
100 columns? Like
100, yeah, 100,000 columns or 100 columns or whatever. Like, how do you think about it? Right? Like, your database is also very big. Like, how do you do that? I think for all of these things, one, of course, as the data becomes larger and larger, it's just a harder problem. Like, you know, it just absolutely is. Your accuracy will go down, right? Like, Cloud Code is worse in larger code bases than it is in smaller code bases, right? As the models get better, it will get better at all of that. For all of these, I would think about, like, how would I do this? If I had a spreadsheet that was, like, a million columns and a million rows, what would I do? I mean, I would need to start searching for it, right? I would need to be like if I'm searching for revenue, I'd be like searching control F revenue, and then I'd go check each of these like results, and I'd be like, is this right? And then like I'd see like, hey, is there a number here? And then I'd probably keep a scratch pad, like a new sheet where I'm like, hey, like equals revenue equals this, you know, and store this reference and keep going. So I think that's a good way of thinking about it, is like, the model should never like read the entire spreadsheet into context, because it would take too much, right? Like, you want to give it like the starting amount of context. And that's also how you work, right? Like, let's say that you open up the spreadsheet. What you see is rows is this, right? You see like the first 10 rows and the first like, you know, 30 columns or something, right? That's what you see. You don't load all of it into context right away. You probably have an intuition for like, hey, I should load more of this into context, right? And like, oh, I should navigate to this other sheet, right? And this other sheet has more data, right? But you need to like, sort of, you gather context yourself, right? And so the agent can operate in the same way. It can like navigate to these sheets, read them, like try and like keep a scratch pad, keep some notes, and keep going. So that's how I would think about it. Yeah, in the back.
Yeah, so my question is about managing context pollution. It actually, I guess, relates to the previous question. Do you have a rule of thumb for, you know, what fraction of the context window to use before you start hitting diminishing returns, or just it becomes less effective?
Yeah, the question is, yeah, context management, do you have a rule of thumb for, like, how much of the context window to use before it becomes less effective? This is actually, I'd say, a pretty interesting problem right now. I think a lot of times when I talk to people who are using Claude Code, they're like, I'm on my fifth compact. I'm like, what? Like I almost have never done a compact before. You know what I mean? Like, I have to, like, test the UX myself by, like forcing myself to get compacted. Just because, like, I tend to, like, clear the context window very often, right, when I'm using Claude Code myself, just because, like, at least in code, the state is in the files of the code base, right? So let's say that I've made some changes. Claude Code can just look at my git diff and be like, oh, hey, these are the changes you've made. It doesn't need to know, like, my entire chat history with it, you know, in order to continue a new task, right? And so in Claude Code, I clear the context very, very often. And I'm like, hey, look at my outstanding git changes. I'm working on this. Can you help me extend it in this way, right? That's like a way of thinking about it. And when you're building your own agent, like let's say we're building a spreadsheet agent, it gets a little bit more complex because your users are less technical, right? And they don't know what a context window is, right? That is like, I'd say, a hard problem. I think there's like some UX design there of like, can you reset the conversation state, right? Like, can you, maybe every time the user asks a new question, can you do your own compact or something? And can you like summarize the context? Does it, like in a spreadsheet, a lot of the state is in the spreadsheet itself, so it probably doesn't need, you know, to know the entire context. Can you store user preferences as it goes so that you remember some of this stuff? You know, like, there's a lot of, like, again, like, it's an art. There are, like, so many different angles and ways in which you can do this, right? But, yeah, you are trying to, like, sort of minimize context usage. You probably don't need Sonnet Million Context or something, you know what I mean? Like, you just need good context management, like UX design, yeah.
I just wanted to ask, the sub-agents were made to protect the conduct of the core agent, right?
That's right, yeah, sub-agents were made to protect
the spreadsheet. Would we be able to use multiple sub-agents and try to make a process where we chunk up the spreadsheet in the case where it's super large, so then the agents can kind of run through each portion, like, in parallel with each other?
Yeah, I mean, so, like, one of the things I love about Claude Code is that we are, like, the best experience for using sub-agents, like, especially sub-agents with Bash. It is very, very good. I didn't quite realize all the pain. I think if anyone's going to QCon, I believe Adam Wolf is giving a talk on QCon about how we did the Bash tool. Adam's a legend, and the Bash tool is such a good job. When you're running parallel sub-agents at the same time, Bash becomes, like, very complex, and there are lots of, like race conditions and stuff like that, and so there's a lot of work that we've solved there, right? So this is, like, one of the things I love about Claude Code is you can just be like, hey, like, spin up three sub-agents to do this task, and it will do that. And in the agent SDK as well, you can just ask it to do that. So number one, sub-agents are a great primitive in the agent SDK, and I haven't seen anyone do it as well. So that's, like, a big reason to use it. Yes, generally, you want these sub-agents to preserve context. Let's say if you have a spreadsheet, you could potentially have multiple read sub-agents going on at the same time, right? So maybe the main agent is like, hey, can this agent read and summarize sheet one? Can this agent read and summarize sheet two? Can this agent summarize sheet three? And then they return their results, and then the agent maybe spins up more sub-agents again, right? So this is like another knob you have. And I think what I want to say is like, we've talked so much about like all these different creative ways that you can like do things. This is like the level at which you should think about should have to think about your problem. You should not really, in my opinion, think about like how do I spin off a process to make a subagent, or like, you know, like the system engineering between like behind, like what is a compact or something, right? So like we take care of all of this for you in the harness so that you can think about like, hey, what subagents do I need to spin off, right? And like, how do I create an agentic search interface, and how do I like verify its work? These are the really core and hard problems that you have to solve. And any time you spend not solving these problems and solving like lower level problems, you're probably not delivering value to your users, you know? And so, yeah, I think subagents, big fan of the agent SDK subagents, yeah. Yeah, great question.
So, we have this Texan and the verification task. So,
yeah.
Where exactly we need to put the verification? In this example, let's say after generation of the SQL query,
yeah.
I can verify it is the right query generated or not. That is the one path. Second path is like generation the query, directly executing, and once I will get the output, then I will do the verification. So, and how agent can choose dynamically like which one is the right path?
Yeah, so the question is, like, where do you do verification? Is it only at the end? Do you do it in the middle? Like, things like that. I would say, like, everywhere you can. Just, like, constantly verification, right? Like I said, we do some verification in the read step of Cloud Code, right? So that's, like, a great example. You can do it at the end. You should absolutely do it at the end. But at any other point, if you have rules or heuristics especially, like, if, for example, you're like, hey, one of my rules is that you shouldn't do, like, the total number of columns you should search should be under 10,000 or under 1,000 or something. That's like a nice way of doing it, right? Like similarly here, like maybe you shouldn't be inserting like a huge like row like of values. Like give feedback to the model, be like, hey, chunk this up, right? You throw an error and give it feedback. And the great thing about the model is like it listens to feedback. It will read the error outputs, right? And then it'll just keep going. So yeah, verification is definitely like, I know I have it in this like as a sort of a loop, but it's definitely more like verification can happen anywhere and should happen anywhere. Like put it in as many places as you can. So, all right, I do need to start doing some of the prototyping, but I'll take one more question. So right here, yeah.
How do we form the steps? How do we say the agent that go search first and then
yeah.
do this step and then do that step? How does a loop actually start from the start point to the end?
You just tell it. So like
is it in a system prompt or
yeah, in the system prompt. Yeah. So like with Cloud Code, we just give it the bash tool and we're like, hey, like gather context, read your files, do stuff, like run your linting, you know what I mean? And so yeah, again with the agent, you don't need to enforce this, right? You don't need to tell it, hey, like you need to do this, because like sometimes it might not be necessary, right? Like let's say that someone is asking a read-only question for your spreadsheet, you don't need to like verify that there are no compile errors, right? Because you haven't done any write operations, right? So let the agent be intelligent and like in the same way that you would like that same freedom when you're doing your work, right? You're trapped in this box or whatever, like same way, right? So okay, cool. I do want to try and see if I can do some prototyping now that we have this the holder as well. Okay, yeah, execute lint. We've done a bunch of Q&A. Okay, prototyping. Okay, let's say that you have an agent, right? Like you want to build an agent. You come out of this talk and you're like, great, I have a bunch of ideas. How do I do this? I think what I'd say overall is like building an agent should be simple. Your agent at the end should be simple, but simple is not the same as easy. Right, so like it should be very simple to get started, and it is. Just go to Cloud Code, give Cloud Code some scripts and libraries and custom Cloud Dynamics, and ask it to do it. Right, that's what we're going to do. Right, that's like it should be so easy to be like, hey, this is my API. This is like an API key. Can you like go search like you know, I don't know, like my customer support tickets or something and organize them by priority or something like that, right? And then look at what Cloud Code does and iterate on it, right? And this is like a great way of like just skipping to like the hard domain-specific problems that you have, right? So you have a lot of like domain problems, like how do you organize your data, your agentic search, how do you like create guardrails on your database? These are all questions that you can just start solving right away with Claude Code, right? And so try and like build something that feels pretty good with Claude Code. And I think generally what I've seen is that you can do this and get really good results just out of the bat using Claude Code locally, right? And you should have high conviction by the end of it, right? And so, yeah, I think like, I forgot this, more info, watch my AI engineer talk. This is like a deck for internal that we were using. Okay, so, yeah, I'm gonna be inserting this. So yeah, you're getting what we show customers, right? So, okay, yeah, so yeah, use Claude Code. Again, simple, but simple is not easy, right? So like the amount of code in your agent should not be like super large. It doesn't need to be huge, doesn't need to be extremely complex, but it does need to be elegant. It needs to be like what the model wants. You want to have this interesting insight. Let's turn the model into a SQL query. Oh, let's turn this spreadsheet into a SQL query and then go from there, right? So, think about it that way, and Claude Code is like a great way of doing that. So, okay, let's make a Pokemon agent, right? This is what we're gonna do. Pokemon is a game with a lot of information. There are thousands of Pokemon, each with a ton of moves. We want to be pretty general, and so there is actually like a Poke API. And the reason I chose Pokemon is just because like I know that you guys have your own APIs as well, right? And they're all like very unique, right? And so I wanted to choose something with a kind of complex API that I haven't tried before. So the Poke API has like, you know, you can search up Pokemon like Ditto, you can search up like items and things like that. And so it's got this like, yeah, this custom API, you've got everything in the games, right? So, and yeah, like one of the quest things your agent might want, your user might want to do is make a Pokemon team, right? I love Pokemon. I know very little about making an interesting Pokemon team for competitive play. Could my agent help me with that? That'd be cool, right? So my goal is to make an agent that can chat about Pokemon, and then we will like, you know, see what we can do, right? And how far we get. So I've done like some of this work already, and I will like open up and show you. So the first step, and the prompt here is like, the first step is I'm gonna do mostly code generation for this, right? And so, let me...
Is that gonna be on GitHub somewhere?
Actually it is, yeah. It's on my personal GitHub. Oh yeah, I was going to commit all of this as well. Yeah. So, I think my personal GitHub is, let's see.
Alright. Is it secure GitHub or does it have malware in it?
you guys are AI engineers. Yeah, like if you can get owned, that's your fault. Yeah. So. Yeah, you can clone this if you'd like. I need to push the last changes. So, okay. So. Yeah. Can you guys see this? Should I put it in dark mode instead, or is this fine? Like.
Dark mode.
Dark mode. Okay. Okay, is this better?
Yeah.
No? Do you want a different dark mode? Dark hard. Okay, I don't think this is gonna get guys. Okay, let's try. How does this work? Can you guys still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So here's an example of like, I've taken the prompt I gave it was, hey, go search Poke API for its API and create a TypeScript library, right? And so this is all vibe coded, and so you can see here that it's created this like interface for Pokemon, right? And so it's created like this Pokemon API. I can get by name. I can list Pokemon. I can get all Pokemon, I can get species and abilities and stuff like that. And so like, this is just a prompt that I gave it, right? And generated this like TypeScript API. It also did it for moves. And then it's created this, it's created this like API that I can use. Import Poke API, right? from the Quark API SDK, and yeah, you can see like sort of how it's like set this up. And now in contrast, right, and so this is the Claude.mb, right? This is the TypeScript SDK for the Poki API. This is like the modules in the Poki API. Here are some of the key features. I'm asking it to write scripts in the examples directory, and then it will execute those scripts to help me with my queries, right? And I give it some example scripts. It doesn't always need all this information, right? Like, but yeah, fetching Pokemon, listing the resources, getting data, things like that. So this is like my agent, really. It's like a prompt I gave it to generate a TypeScript library, and then this Claude.md, and I can chat with it in Claude Code. I'll also show you a version of it that is just tools, right? So here I'm using the messages completion API, right? And I've given it a bunch of tools from the API. So like get Pokemon species, get Pokemon ability, get Pokemon type, get move. So you've defined all of these tools, and you can see that like, you know, I also just gave it a prompt and told it to make the tools. It doesn't want to make 100 tools, right? Like there's a ton of Smogon, Poki API data, but like there's only so many parameters it can do. So it's got this like tool call, and now, and I made like a little chat interface with it, right? So let me now go here and say like, this is my tool calling. Great, so yeah, here we've got this chat.ts, right? I use bun when I'm prototyping stuff, just because like, I don't want to compile from TypeScript to JavaScript. Again, bun has like linting built into it. It's a way of like simplifying for the agent, so the agent doesn't need to remember to compile. But TypeScript is better for generation because it has types, right? So I'm gonna start this like bun chat, and then I'm gonna try like, okay, what are the generation two water Pokemon, and you'll see that it's starting to like search, and I'm logging all the tool calls here. This is very, very important, right? Because like it needs to like do the tool calls, and so you can see that what it's doing is like it's searching a bunch of Pokemon, and then it told me, okay, here are the water Pokemon for Gen 2, right? It's got Totodile, Croconaw for Alligator. You can see sort of like how it's thought, like, in between each step, it's thinking through the previous steps, right? Now, like, let's say that I want to do with Claude Code. I think I might need to delete this example. Oh yeah.
Small question: how do you log the tool calls? It's like there's just an argument.
Oh yeah, this is like in the normal API, right? So I just like in the model, every time it logs it, I just call this. This is in the like normal Anthropic API. In the SDK, I'll get back to the SDK. It's just like you just log every system message. So just doing it in console logs. Does that make sense? Or yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So the chat interface you were showing, is that just using the regular API? Or
yeah, that's using the regular API.
So not the agent SDK.
Not the agent SDK. Yeah. And so what I'm going to do here is, I'm going to delete the script because I don't want it to cheat. But okay, so here you know that I'm just opening Claude Code. I've created a bunch of files here. I'm going to say like, can you tell me all the generation 2 water Pokemon? And then we'll see what it can do, right? So I forget if I need to prompt it to write a script or something. I think I'll be fine. We'll see what happens.
Do you mind going to the core SDK file and just showing, you talked about getting context and then action and then verification. Can you show that in the code and how we're configuring the tool description?
Yeah, so we haven't done the SDK part yet. So far, I've just put some APIs in Claude Code. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I thought I missed that.
No. Yeah, of course. Okay. So you can see here, it's given me a lot more, right? And Yeah, it's giving me a lot more. So it's saying there's 20 water-bearing Pokemon, right? And I think this is roughly right. I've like, what did it do? Oh, I think it just knows. Okay. No, that's funny. Live demo this. Anyways, yeah, the Pokemon is slightly in distribution, which is I guess good. But yeah, so like what it will do is like it will try and like write like a script, and because you don't want it to think as much, right? So here it's like, okay, what I'm going to do is let's see, Gen 2 water type Pokemon. Okay, so yeah, you can see here, it knows like, okay, the start of the generations, it fetches these per API. I guess it's decided not to use like my pre-built API here. And then runs it, right? So I think I need to like improve the cloud.md for this. But anyways, you can see that like, it's able to like check 200 plus Pokemon and then check for their type and you know get their information, right? So this is like just a quick example on like how to do CodeGen and how to use Cloud Code to do it, right? So we'll run this script and then like keep going, right? So it will give me the output. And yeah, basically what I want to show, let's see, we have roughly 15 minutes left.
Just have it play Pokemon.
Yeah. Actually, this is one of the demos I was thinking of doing. Cloud Code plays Pokemon. So, like, let's say you want to do like an agentic version of Cloud plays Pokemon. How would you do it? What you would do, I think, is like you would give it access to the internal memory of the ROM, right? And so, let's say that it wanted to find its party, it could search that in memory. And Pokemon Red is like a very well in distribution, reverse engineered game, right? And so it could search in memory to be like, hey, these are the Pokemon. These are like, this is how I figure out where the map is. This is how I navigate it, right? So this is like maybe exercise to the reader if you want to try it out. It's like there is like a Node.js GBA emulator. I think I have to legally say you have to go buy Pokemon Red and try it. But yeah, I think like. Yeah, good example. Anyways, here, so it's fetched all of them and it's listed all their types, and yeah, you can see how it's like used code generation to do this, right? So a quick example of using Cloud Code to prototype this. Now there can be like more interesting like data here, so I do want to leave time for example, so I think I'll just sort of like for questions, so I'll just sort of go through like an example. Let's say you're making competitive Pokemon. Competitive Pokemon has a lot of different variables and data. So this is like a text file from this online like a library, basically, which stores like all of the Pokemon and their like moves and who they work well with and don't work well with, and you know like who they're countered by and all of these things, right? So there's a ton of data here, right? And it's all in text file. Which is actually pretty good for Cloud Code, right? Because I can say like, okay, hey, I'm gonna give it a little bit more data. Normally I put this in the check the data folder. Tell me, I want to make a team around Venusaur. Can you give me some suggestions based on the Smogon data? And Smogon is like this online API. And so I'm not entirely sure what it'll do here yet. I haven't done this query before, but we'll see. I think it'll be fun. Where am I? This, oh, I see. Yeah, but what I wanted to do is sort of grab through this data, right? And sort of figure out from itself, from first principles, not having seen this data before, how can I like answer my query, right? So while it does that, I'll take any questions. Yeah?
First of all, great workshop. So this is like really on top of Cloud Code. And so my question is,
if we were to deploy this customer facing.
Yeah.
Are we supposed to have Claude Code running in like a swarm, or are we somehow able to take the Claude Code part out, just use Claude and the agent SDK?
Yeah. So let me show you like very quickly like what it looks like to use the agent SDK here. So I've already done this file system, right? And again, I want you to think about the file system as a way of doing context engineering, right? Like this is like a lot of the inputs into the agent. So my actual agent file is like 50 lines, right? And it's mostly just like random like boilerplate, right? Like I guess, yeah, it's decided to stop it from writing scripts outside of the custom scripts directory. Again, fully backcoded. So, yeah, you can see like it just runs this query, takes in the working directory, and runs it in a loop, right? And so, probably I'd want to like turn into like some allowed tools here and stuff, but it's very simple. And so, if I were to like productionize this, the first step I'd do is like, okay, I've tested it on Claude Code. It seems to do pretty well. I write this file, then I put it. There are two ways to do it. So one is, I do think that like local apps might be coming back with AI because I think that like there's such an overhead to running it. Like for example, Claude Code is a front-end app, right? Like it works on your computer. So maybe the way I ship this as a Pokemon app is like, hey, I have like an app that you install and it works locally on your computer and it's writing scripts. I think that's one way of doing it, right? The other way is, yeah, you host it in a sandbox. And again, there's a bunch of different sandbox providers that make it really easy. Like Cloudflare has a good example of using the agent SDK, and it's just like sandbox.start, you know, and then like bun agent.ts, and that's kind of all it takes, right? Like it's like they've abstracted away a lot of it. So you run like the sandbox, and then you communicate with it. And yeah, I think there is like some very interesting stuff that I'm not sure I had time to get to, but I think some interesting questions are like, how do you do this sort of like service? Now you're spinning up a sandbox per user. There's a lot of like, I'd say best practices to solve here. One thing I just want to call out for you guys to think about, if you're making an agent with a UI, like let's say that you have, my Pokemon agent, and I wanted to have a UI that is adaptable to the user, right? Like maybe some users are doing team building, some users are helping it with their game, some users just want pictures of Pokemon. How would I have an agent that adapts in real time to my user, right? The way I would do it is in my sandbox, I would have a dev server, right? And the dev server would expose a port. It would run on Bun or Node or something. It would like expose a port. The agent could edit code and it would live refresh. And your user would be interacting with that website. This is how a lot of like site builders like Lovable and stuff work, right? They use sandboxes and they host essentially a dev server. And so thinking about this for your users, if you want a customized interface, this is a great way to do it. Okay, let's see what it did. Okay, cool. Okay, so it's like written this like script, it's generated like showed me some base stats and suggested a move set and some teammates, and you can see sort of like, let's see, what did it do? Control E. Yeah, okay, so you can see here what it started doing is, like, it started searching for Venusaur, right? And it started finding those types, the those Pokemon. And when it does that, it also gets other Pokemon that mention Venusaur. So it gets, like, its teammates and its counters and stuff, right? And it's sort of, over this time, found interesting Pokemon, right, that, like, it might work with, right? So it's done a bunch of these searches, and it's gone to this profile, it's found most common teammates and written a script to analyze it, right? And so this is all based on a text file. Of course, I could have pre-processed a text file a little bit more, but yeah, it's like done this sort of like interesting analysis for me, right? And again, I'll push up more code to the GitHub repo, and I'll also tweet about this. I'm on Twitter. I'm TRQ212. I tweet a lot, so definitely like mostly about agent SDK stuff. But yeah, we have about 8 minutes left, so I want to spend the rest of the time taking questions about kind of anything. You know, I'm sorry we didn't get to do more prototyping, but yeah.
Over there. Yeah, I was going to say, with the mod play, can you sort of plug this in with that just to see if the agent will be more selective with the teammates that tries to capture it?
Yeah, put it in Claude Plays Pokemon. Yeah. I do want to make Claude Code Plays Pokemon. I think that would be fun. Yeah. I think Claude Plays Pokemon, I think we try and keep it like a pure reasoning task as much as possible. Yeah. Other questions? Yeah.
I was curious about how people are monetizing Claude SDK. Like, I'm making a product that you kind of like lose the opportunity to get all the margins that you've been putting into.
Yeah.
I'm curious, like, how people have been shipping their own Claude SDK keys so that they kind of take
Yeah, I do think overall, especially right now, agents are kind of pricey, you know what I mean? Because like the models have just started to get agentic. We really focus on like having the most intelligent models, you know, and like you generally, this is just like an overall like SaaS business software thing. You'd rather charge fewer people more money that really have like a hard problem, you know, and so I think this is still good. Like, you probably should find, you know, these hard use cases. But I would say, like, number one, make sure you're solving a problem that people want to pay for, right? Is like the number one step, right? And then number two, yeah, I think you could do subscription or token based. I think this kind of comes down to like how much you expect people to use your product versus like how much you expect them to like use it occasionally. Like, Claude Code, obviously people use a lot, and in order to like, we do a mix of like, if we give you some rate limits and if you exceed it, we do usage-based pricing. I think that like, yeah, it's very like dependent on your own user base and kind of like what they will do, but I will say monetization is something you should think about upfront and design your, you know, agent around, because it's hard to walk back these promises. So. Yeah, back there.
I haven't heard you talk at all about hooks, and I'd be curious to hear your take on how hooks might fit in there.
Yeah, there's so much to talk about. Hooks are great. We do ship with hooks. Hooks are a way of doing deterministic verification in particular, or inserting context. So, you know, we fire these hooks as events, and you can register them in the agent SDK. There's like a guide on how to do that. Examples of things you might use hooks for is like, for example, you can run it to verify the like a spreadsheet each time. You could also, like, let's say I'm working with an agent, and the agent is doing some spreadsheet operations, and the user has also changed the spreadsheet. This is an interesting like place to use a hook, because you can be like, hey, has after every tool call, insert changes that the user has made, and so you're giving it kind of live context changes. In an interesting way. So, I think, there's more stuff on, like, the docs about hooks, and happy to, like, talk about it afterwards as well. Yeah, more questions? Yeah?
So, one common, like, workflow I do is,
yeah.
Let's say, as an example, like, I go through the sample data in Cloud4.
Yeah.
Then I realize, okay, it's working.
Yeah.
I want to take the same conversation that I've already done, because I'm going through a few questions.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is that I followed a few steps, now it's actually working. Mm. I don't want to rewrite all of the code to write the SDK. Because it works.
Yeah, sure. So like, let's say you've done this prototyping, you found something that works. What I would do is like, I somewhere the claude.md. Like, obviously, like, when I tried doing this one time, it like didn't use my API directly and it wrote JavaScript. I should have been more specific in my claude.md to be like, hey, you should use this. I think like, so that's one thing. The second thing is, do summarize into claude.md, have the helper scripts that you need, and then like write something like this agent.ts script to like to run the agent. More questions? Yeah, in the gray?
I put it up. Tries a couple times, like my SDK isn't very good because I coded it.
Sure,
but
sure.
Then it tries twice, and then it's like, well, here's your comparison table, but it's just because it's in distribution. Do you have any advice for that kind of problem?
Yeah, this is a good question, and you know, like, I'm I think there is some messiness, right? Like, I think one of the things, if an agent knows an answer, and you want to, like, sort of, like, fight it, kind of, to be like, okay, like, you know, it's generation 9 now, and, like, Venusaur stats have changed, and there's, like, this new, like, paradigm. Like, this is hard, I actually think. One of the ways of doing that is hooks. So you can say, for example, like, hey, don't, if you've, like, returned a response without writing a script, you know, you can check that. You can be like, give feedback to be like, please make sure you write a script. Please make sure you read this data, right? And you can use hooks to like give that feedback. In the same way that in Claude Code, we have these like rules, like make sure you read a file before you write to it, right? So add some determinism. It can definitely be, like I said, it's an art, you know, sometimes, you know, yeah, maybe like riding a horse, I guess, probably. Yeah, and the gray.
How are you guys dealing with like large code bases? I'm working like a 50 million plus line code base, and so grep tool doesn't work really. So I'm having to build like my own like semantic indexing type thing to kind of help with that, right?
Sure.
Is there
sure.
any kind of like at Anthropic maybe thinking about how that can be more native to the product? Like, you know, in a couple months, is the thing I'm writing just going to go away, or like how are you guys thinking about that?
Okay, your last question in a couple months is you're thinking to go away. Generally, yes. Yeah. Like, any time you ask about AI, yeah. I think that semantic search, this is a Claude Code question more than an agent SDK question, but happy to answer it. Like, we, you know, there are trade-offs of semantic search. It's more brittle. I think you have to, like, index and search. And it's not necessary. The model is not trained on semantic search. And so I think that's sort of like a problem. Like, you know, grep it's trained on because it's like, it's easy to do that, but like semantic search, you're implementing your bespoke query. For like very large code bases, you know, we have lots of customers that work in large code bases. I think what I've seen is sort of like, they just do like good cloud.empties. You start in, you know, try and make sure you start in the directory you want. Have like good like verification steps and hooks and links and things like that. And so, you know, that's what we do. We don't have, you know, a custom. We dog food Claude Code, right? So, yeah. Okay, yeah. Last question.
We have to close, unfortunately. Actually, so
okay.
Let's give it up for Tariq, everyone.